איזה שלג לטוס את השתי הענפים. In several places where Chazal used a very strange educational model to express a whole series of different halachas. So some of you may have bumped into the Mishnah at one point. It says, Yesh Chorish Tel Mechon, V'chayv Alav Shmona Malchus. The person can do one action and be chayv eight different malchias for it. The guy's got to have really, really creativity. The one action to be chayv eight malchias, you have to be plowing on Yom Tif and doing the Shnas HaShemit, and it's you're a Kohen Gadol and you're a Nozer in the base of Kvaras, and it's Kelayim, and it, you really, really got to work hard to collect possible of getting 80 surim for one shot. Then there's another Mishnah that speaks about Yesh Ochel Achil Achas Mechayev Chabish Kavonas. A person could eat one piece of kazayas, and unbelievable, I mean, more than kazayas. Okay, it says eat one piece of meat, he's chayev mishum chayla, mishum naisa, mishum yantik, mishum tamim, mishum. You got to really, really be a real achas in order to try to get so many surim, really pack your money's worth in terms of surim. So why do Chazal speak in such strange ways? I don't know. First of all, it makes it interesting, exciting. So just, and probably for educational purposes also, you have to learn in these sugyas, you're never going to forget. There's a din of, you're not allowed to plow during the Shmiti, and you're not allowed to plow on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to plow at Kelayim. These are good ways of remembering. You know, everything is Torah Shabbat Pesach, so it's hard to forget. So it's much more dramatic. You tell a guy, Yesh Chosh, tell him Echad, V'chayev, Shmonecha, Lavim. Wow, you're going to remember a lot of things about this sugya. So I think that if Chazal were writing a sugya b'zman hazeh, they were trying to look for what possible action can we think of, what possible scenario can we play out, where a person could do one thing which seems at first glance to be very innocent, I'm plowing a field, I'm taking a bite of food, what could possibly be wrong? Eight aveiros, five aveiros, how many aveiros can you pack in a punch of so many aveiros for one ma'aseh? So I think Chazal would probably describe what tonight's topic is. And I think what was usually described as an offer of roasting, we'll talk about that, what I think the significance of that statement is in a moment. So I think, without exaggeration, I cannot think of anything that a person could do. I may be a little exaggeration, but I can't think of many things that a Ben Torah would do. Let's leave it like that. Anything that what otherwise Ben Torah would do, that could be so laden with so many Isurim HaChamurim B'Yoser, that I tell you the truth, it boggles the imagination that such a phenomenon exists. And it boggles the imagination that I have to get up and even speak about it. But I could just tell you that every person who I've spoke to in the last week or so has seen this, the advertisement for this year. So I'm not talking about the guys in Yeshiva who want to know what I'm going to talk about. So, but anybody who, not that they don't value your opinion, but anyone who value their opinion, people a little bit older, people a little more, been around for longer. So everybody said to me the same thing. They said to me somewhere along the lines of Kol HaKavod, Mishkech, it's about time we're here at such a shiur, and you can quote me on it also. That's what they said. I sign, whatever you say, whatever you're going to say about this topic, I sign off also, because it's something which is lo yu'uman ki yisupar, that such a phenomenon exists. So we shouldn't, Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't feel that we're the only yeshiva that's subject to this problem. I was just recently speaking to someone from another, very, very different yeshiva, and they said the exact same thing to me. They said, I can't believe such a thing exists, and they wanted me to send them a copy to next year. So this year is across the board, across the party lines in Klal Yisrael. This is something which I think is, there are certain things that exist in our communities that, we'd like to kind of weed them out a little bit, slowly but surely, people will get a little bit frumer, get a little more yeshemayim, a little more common sense. So certain things will, it takes time, it takes months and years and years and years to be able to overcome certain nisyonos that we have. Then there are other kinds of things which are what we call cold turkey. It means that a guy, Khalila, is doing something which is so dangerous. A person is Khalila, smoking, drinking, a drug, whatever it is. So we don't have time to negotiate. We don't have time to sit around and over the next 30 years, we'll try to weed you off your out of your bad habits. We don't have time for that. He said, but it's something which is so fundamentally dangerous, it's something that has to stop, not by this coming Shabbos, by now. That's the, and I think Lefiania's diet, the Ani Ben Torah, as the ounce of Yerushalayim, will realize right away that what I'm going to talk about tonight is so antithetical to everything that we stand for, that this is nothing to negotiate. This is not a give and take, this is not a pull. This is just, what I'm going to say now is Dvarim Pshutim, Dvarim HaYetzim and Halev, Nechnasim HaHalev, I hope. So I started off by saying that one could be involved in what seems to be a very innocent activity and be in violation of so many surim achmurim biyoseh. Which surim exactly am I referring to? When I speak about love in the Torah, it's not just drama, it's not just poetic, I got other things to do at 10:30 at night. I just came to a shir, this is a real shir. My wife said, just get up and scream at the guys and tell the guys I can't insult. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I shouldn't really tell that. I can't see. I'm ready roasting. I didn't. You have to present it. Afiyah halacha is a real shir halacha. So that's this is as much a shir in halacha, as much a shir in Torah in lamdas and pilpul as the shir that I give in Shnei Mechzen or the shir I give in Zman Yom Tov, whatever they are. You have to say something. You have to back it up with real source, real facts. I didn't give it my makamas, but I went, everything will be touched about that. So the first of these surim that I think one has to be relevant with is the issa that Chazal speaks about a malvim plechem eber avim. Issa chomer b'yelser of embarrassing somebody. There's an issa to embarrass somebody even if it's not b'rabim. And kavachomer if it's malvim plechem eber avim. The Gemara derives from a pasuk. The Torah says that even in a situation where you're permitted to correct the person, even when you have a right to say certain things, not only do you have a right, you have an obligation to be mechiach somebody what they're doing is wrong. You're not permitted to do an erech busha, you're not permitted to cause a person to be in his bayish and kavachem, you're not permitted to be mevayish somebody be rabim. This is an isser chomoder, this is an isser deraisa. The Gemara even has a comment that this may be in the category of Yehoram Vel Yavor. The Gemara says that Mutar Shiyapel Hatzvah Lekushim Eish Yavel Nechavim Ram. It's actually not this week's parasha, but next week's parasha, where Tamar is faced with a crisis that may cost her life. Whether she's permitted to be Megal, she's permitted to say something which is going to clearly embarrass Yehuda, and Tamar chooses not to. And she says Leisha She'elul Anichihar Anochiharash, means that if he wants to admit that he's the one, well, good. And if not, I'm not going to say anything, even though it's about to cost her life. So the Gemara comments in several places, Mutav Shiapal Atzvel of Kifshon Eish V'yabim Rechav Eberhabim. So there is a machlokes of Rishonim, whether this is a real din in the sense of, do we really say, bottom line, push comes to shove, a guy puts a gun to your head and says, embarrass that person, I'm going to kill you. So some Rishonim say, you have to die. That's what Ben Yoni writes in Shari Tshuva, that the Gemara didn't mean this just dramatic in the world of Mosul. The Gemara meant this in Shachrach, meant the Halacha. It's considered to be an abizrayu of Ritzicha. So we spoke a lot about this in the Pesach HaMashurim a couple of years ago. We spoke a little bit about it in the Yavam HaShurim last year also. There's a concept of the Sugis of Yehar Vel Yavar, when you have something which is one of the Gimel Averas, so not only is the Gimel Averas itself Yehar Vel Yavar, but anything that smacks of the Gimel Averas, but also Yehar Vel Yavar. So since Ma'avim Pechav Eberabim is Ke'ilu Shofech Damim, it's causing the person as if he's dying, you're drawing the blood, and you're mamish causing his face to turn white. So according to Ben Yonah, that is mamish the status of Ritzicha, and therefore it would be literally Pshutu Kamashmo, Yehar Vel Yavar. So again, maybe not everyone agrees to Ben Yonah, so you can pilpul, you can say shirum about it, is it Yizhi Yehar Vel Yavar, not Yehar Vel Yavar. But whether it is or is not, for sure does not minimize the Chomas HaIsar. But this is considered to be an Isar HaChom HaVi'Yisar, to such an extent that the Gemara says that people who are constantly involved in these kinds of activities, the Ma'am Pechim Eberabim, so it's a serious question whether the person has a Chelik in Olam Haba. So this is a very, very serious area of Halacha called Ma'am Pechim Eberabim. Since the Gemara does say that Ya'apel Atzvah Sekushin Eish, therefore I didn't feel any qualms about calling the topic whether on the grill or in the furnace. So if some people are trying to figure out what the in the furnace is for the person who's speaking. That's not what it didn't mean that the jokes are in the furnace, it means the person's in the furnace, because that's what it says. Ya'apel Atzvah Sekushin Eish. So that's the first issa that we have to take with the utmost seriousness. Then there is another issa, which is also Nisra Chama B'Yaiser, maybe not quite on par with the Ma'av Nechav Ebram, but also something of utmost seriousness, and that's the generalist of Anoz Devarim. So we're learning about the Tziyah this year, so we're spending a lot of time in Chashim Mishpah and Dini Maminis. So the Mishnayis and the Gemaras, at the very end of the fourth Perek of Tziyah, introduced us another concept called Anoz Devarim, that one is not allowed to cause somebody aggravation. The Mishnah gives a few cases. Chazal gave a couple of highlights of cases, what's called Anoz Devarim. The person who goes into a store and drives the store on a crazy and then walks out and doesn't buy anything. Or the person who says, Zechor Masecha Rishayim, the person who says, you know, he used to be a goy, he used to be a not from, whatever it is. People who cause other people aggravation are all in violation of Anoz Devarim. So it's clear for the Gemara that these are not the only examples of Anoz Devarim. The issue of Anoz Devarim means any time you cause somebody tzar, you cause somebody aggravation, you cause any person to become upset, that's an issa gom, it's an issa d'arais, it's no less than issa than eating chazir. But if it's malchus, no malchus, okay, it's avshem b'maisa, you say Torah's about it. But in terms of an issa min ha-Torah, so of course it's an issa min ha-Torah called Anoz Devarim. So it should be pretty clear that any time that a person gets up and cracks what he thinks are innocent jokes, what he thinks are funny jokes, when any of those kinds of statements bring about either or both of these two results, so then the person who is cracking the jokes is violating kama v'kama isurim d'araisa. So he's being malvav nechav eviram, and he's in violation of onoz devarim. So lest a person think that, what do you mean I'm being malvim v'chavei rabim? What do you mean I'm doing a nose dvarim? The chassid loves it. He just did it to me 6 months ago. This is great. Everybody loves this. So he's moichel. So taka, there is a din that a person can be moichel on. Then he averes me on the chavero. If I say, he doesn't embarrass me. I want it. I want you to be embarrassed. You can vayish me. Okay? And there's no istakul ma'al pechav ibrahim. If I say, yeah, tell me about those bad days. Tell me about the nose. I want to hear. Or the storm says, please come in and drive me crazy. Okay? So that's the chol nose devar. So in theory, lo yitzuya, that all the people who are being, I don't know what the phrase is, Maluban Panayim, all the people who are having their faces being, don't quote me on that one, all the people who are being Mevuyash, or don't quote me on that one either, all the people who are being Nisanu, whatever you want to call them, so if they would really be Meichel, so then we'll be back in business, then we can get the roast back on again, and we're good to go. The only problem is, it's a very, very serious problem, that first of all, I'm not even sure that those facts are correct, because very often what happens is it reaches a point where even the person who's supposedly being Meichel is not really being Meichel. You know, there is even a concept in Dina Momenes, in Halacha, that sometimes the person is a Meichel, and he's not really Meichel. Like Gemara has Sugis in Bava Kamma, about Meichel, you know, the Meichel Tzahaguf. Sometimes the person says that he's Meichel, but we know that in his heart of hearts, he's not really Meichel. So there are Kamma Sugis like that. So I'm not even sure that the facts are right. But even Anich, even if you're right, even if you're going to tell me that the guy's going to take a Shavuot Deraisa, take a real Shavuot Deraisa, saying that he doesn't really care and he's happy and keep it coming, keep it rolling, I won't get roasted more and more, it's funny, and I'm going to come back to you next week. So sounds great. Even Anich, if that's true, which again, I'm not at all convinced that that's the facts, but even though that's true, one thing I can tell you with Eidus Gemura, because I've heard this, not mipi Eidecha, not mipi Shnaim Eidim, mipi Kam V'Kam V'Kam Eidim Nemonim, people themselves were victims of this, is that even if the child, of the chosen, who is truly a child, that he's Meichel on these kinds of things, even if the chosen is Meichel on these kinds of things, the parents are not Meichel. And the shum pun of life and the parents are not Meichel. And I tell you this with the utmost seriousness, I have been at Ofros, and I have been post-Ofros, the parents have come to me in tears. They have moms come to me in tears. They can't believe what happened. Their parents are never Meichel. I'm telling you, I don't care what. Even if the parents and you know, he'll put a smile on because he doesn't want to get everybody upset. He doesn't want to get all the friends upset. But the parents are ready to mamish go underground. So this is something which is a devarim pshutim. Parents have told me this mamish. This is not ABPA. This is parents have come to me mamish crying. So this is something which is a child can't be Meichel on his parents. On his parents, I'll bonus upon him. A child can't be Meichel on his parents on Nos Devarim. So this is something which is the utmost seriousness. Of course, because we're dealing now with the stakes are much greater. Now we're not only talking about being Malvin Panim of a Chassan, or being Ma'ane or Nos Devarim of a Chassan. Now we're talking about, in terms of the parents, and throw it in to make matters worse, very often, Baruch Hashem, people are blessed to have grandparents present at Ofros and other occasions of Simcha. The parents are not Meichel, the grandparents zikr are not Meichel. Believe Shum Safik, the grandparents are not Meichel. So not only are we dealing now with the surim of Mal B'Rech of Heberab, and we're dealing with the surim of Anoz Devarim, but now we're dealing with very serious issues of Kibbutz Aim as well. And here we have a tie on the Chassan, that the Chassan has no right to encourage this. That if the Chassan says to his friend, yeah, keep it coming, I'm Meichel, I want it, fakir, it's doing the greatest mitzvah, simple Chassan Kala, at whose expense? At the parents' expense? At the grandparents' expense? So the Chassan is also, he's not just compliance with the Avera, he's actively causing the Avera. The child knows, every Chassan knows, his heart of hearts, and his parents are not going to be happy. If there's any suffering, let him come and talk to me. The parents are not going to encourage it, the grandparents are not going to encourage it, and the Chassan still encourages it. So that's a terrible thing. That's mamash a violation of Aseres HaDibros. That's mamash a violation of Kibbutz Avim. That's a violation of Mora Avim. Mevaza Av V'Imo. You don't have to go that much further than the Gemara's in Kedushin, the first part. But think about it. If a person brings about cologne, brings about embarrassment and shame to his parents, so how much more so? What a terrible, terrible affair this is. So forget. Once the parents are in the cheshbon, so a new chumru, we have an offer without the parents there. That'll be real Kibbutz Avim. I realize, Gavalik HaKovet. Okay? I have to say something. I have to be honest. I don't understand that there's a phenomenon that exists called the friend's vort. I don't know. Am I right? Such a phenomenon exists. Called the friend's vort, Baruch Hashem, no one here knows about it. That a friend's l'chaim, whatever it's called, that the parents are officially uninvited to. I never heard of a chutzpah she'en gemara. If the parents don't want to come, don't come. But the parents should be told that they're not allowed to come because this is something for the friends. I said, Yatshem, you'll be a parent someday, you'll understand what I mean. So getting back to the story. So the parents are not moichel, the grandparents are not moichel. I said, anyone who's involved in creating such a phenomenon that the parents are upset, so this is a mamish violation of Yisurim, Chamurim, B'yoysef, Kibir Aveim, Mer Aveim, etc. So to make that is Lufiani is died even worse. I think it's hard to make it worse. Sorry being too strong, but it really, really hurts. I've heard too many tears. That's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. To make matters even worse, I think it's a tremendous degree of lack of a curse of type. I said it's not the stavon of Kibra Aveir, Mer Aveir. Here's the day where the parents have been waiting for. It's the day that the parents have been looking forward to. It's the simcha of marrying off a child. Everyone should reach that point. To marry off a child. And not only has the parents been waiting for it, but the parents have been paying for it. And it's an awful lot of money. It costs a lot of money. So when we're young, so we don't understand these things. As you get a little bit older, and then you start to realize that first you get a little bit older, you realize that diapers cost money, then you realize school costs money, then you realize that a lot of things cost money, and then the day comes, you realize that weddings cost money, and then you realize that your grandchildren's diapers cost money, and your grandchildren's and then your grandchildren's wedding cost money, and that's how life continues. And eventually someone's going to have to make some money to continue the next 3-4 generations on, but that's a different schmooze, maybe that'll be next week's topic. Okay. Anyway, it's nice when it's late at night, you could just kind of roll in inhibitions. You know, I talk about Metzia, you know, Shnaimus and Metalis, you got to think everything you say here, I can just shoot the breeze, and it really, really comes out. Okay, anyway, so Rabbeisa, getting back to the story. So here, you're taking an opportunity, you're taking a situation which is the parents' ultimate height of joy and the height of dedication and commitment. I mean, there are parents who work for years and years and years and years to pay off debts. For chasana debts, for children, we know that. That's a reality. But here the parent has been saving, or paying off debts, or working hard, and has created a beautiful, beautiful simcha, and a couple of little punks, as part of my words, a couple of little punks get up and say foolish things, which are not just foolish things, would be nothing, but get up and say insulting things, things which embarrass the parent. He said, where's the curse of Tov? Where's the Pashuk Kavod HaBriyos? Forget about parents. It's Pashuk Kavod HaBriyos. Who is not thinking? Well, whose head got screwed off out on the wrong side today? What exactly happened? And when sometimes you tell this to people, they look like you're crazy. And then you talk to parents. I'm telling you, Maisim, parents have come crying to me at the Simcha and after the Simcha. One parent worded Bezel Lush to me, they said, we spent so much, we worked so hard for this day, and I couldn't enjoy my own son's offer because some kid got up and told some story about some foolish thing that my son did 10 years ago. I know he did it, we know he did it, but the world has to know that he did it. Everyone, the Kaal has to know that he did it. The grandparents of the Kaal have to know that he did it. I said, the guy was almost crying to me. He said, I made a beautiful, beautiful offer for making a beautiful, beautiful chasana, and this is my tashlumin. I said, did anyone ever think about that? When you get up and say the foolish jokes, I don't want to think that there are people there who are mamish being hurt. So this is Dvar Mepshutim B'ya, I said. This is Habonus Pechaveh B'Ravim, this is Onoas Dvarim, this is a lack of Kibrav Aim, and it's more than just lack of Kibrav Aim, it's mamish, it's literally in the category of a Kofi Tova to cause tzar to the parents, dafk at the time when they're going so out of the way to bring Simcha to you. So this is all the Yisurim that I'm talking about now. This is in the realm of primarily Yisurim Ben Odom L'Chaveiro, primarily lack of the heroes in this particular area. But then the situation gets, the Fidei Hazdaiti, significantly more problematic, because many of the things that happen, and this has been well documented, I did not discover this problem. Those who are interested, there have been articles written about this in respectable Torah literature, that there's a phenomena that has been discovered that this activity of offer for roasting is directly correlated to issues of shalom bayis. That there are real issues of shalom bayis that have been created that can be linked, that can be the source, the original source of a certain akuda is found from these quote unquote innocent jokes. How you talking? How can that be? That's a great chokhmah. You'll be such a great marriage counselor, therapist to figure out what's going on. Here's the chosen. He's mamish. He's on the pedestal. Everyone loves him. The kala thinks he's the greatest guy in Lakewood. All right, so there are 10,000 other great guys in Lakewood. Whatever it is. But he's the joke goes, who's the greatest guy in the Shiva? The guy who's got to get married today. He's the greatest. So he's the greatest guy in the Shiva. Okay? Yeah, no, the father was Zichah thinks he's the greatest guy. After all, I just signed off to support him for the next 20 years. He better be the best guy in the Shiva. So he's got all the everyone thinks the world of the guy. Mamish, the greatest guy, the collar's on, the cloud's on. She's at her Shabbos collar, telling everybody about his wonderful great chassid that she just met last week. It's Gavaldik, Murray. And what happens? All of a sudden, some kid who gets up, who's at the ripe old age of 22, and with a great life experience in Seichel Yosher, gets up and tells a story about, oh, by the way, remember Yankel 8 years ago when we were 14 and we got stoned, one night? Or remember that time when we cheated on when we stole the regents? So the father-in-law is sitting at the supper, and the wheels have got to be turning in his head. Wait a second. This is the great boy who we're investing a lifetime in. This is who I'm handing over my daughter to marry. The guy who's got a history of stealing regencies. The guy's got a history of getting drunk. Those are the things. I mean, relatively speaking. And who knows what other things sometimes come out. So someone's got to be thinking, wait a second, is the shidduch so poshut? And kachava? Maisa shoya kachoya? Supposed in-laws. The next morning, the offer was on Shabbos, I don't know when the chasm was supposed to be, Sunday morning, they were ready to break a shidduch. They were ready to break a shidduch over the foolishness that was said. Someone wants to take that responsibility. Someone's willing in an offer to take responsibility for breaking a shidduch over saying something foolish. It happened. And if it's Baruch Hashem, 9 out of 10 times the shidduch isn't broken, you think the seeds aren't planted? You think that the word doesn't get back to the kallah? First of all, sometimes the kallah is at the offer for even, but the shushur should be a different story. But sometimes she's there, and if she's not there, her father's there. And even if her father's too embarrassed, her brother's there, her cousin's there, and word will come back. Oh, Rachel, did you hear about Moshe, this great, tremendous masbid? Yeah, he's a great, tremendous masbid. Meanwhile, when he was in high school, he could barely get out of bed before 11 o'clock every morning. So she has to know that. So then, 6 months later, Moshe doesn't feel well, so she starts screaming at him, and he's screaming at her. And she says, I see the Yatzlan, you're not the real masbid. You think seeds are planted? Seeds are planted. We know the koach of Lashon Hara is so powerful that if a person hears something in Lashon Hara, or you hear something, you don't believe it, I'm a kabbalah, it's not true, it's not true. You know what? It's also reshim. It makes a dent, and it stays somewhere in the back of your mind, and it's, to quote a phrase from Yerodea, those who are in Yerodea, it's chayz of an air. It comes back to life. You never, never know. That's why Lashon Hara is so powerful, that even if I'm not a kabbalah anything, just the fact that I heard some narishkei, that could potentially cause tzaras down the line. So Reb Baruch Baer, his Akdama to Bichah Shmuel, writes that when he was younger, he was once talking to somebody who wasn't so from, and the person said some like bizyonis about some Maimon Chazal or something, whatever it was, said some derech bizyonis, some litzonis. So Reb Baruch Baer said, I was so upset, and I thought the guy was crazy and everything, but for 50 years, it's always in the back of my mind. He says, I've been miskaber, Baruch Baer, Baruch Baer sitting and writing Bichah Shmuel, and he says, because some ninkapook 50 years ago said something foolish to me, it's still a slice of suffix. That's kachi nachas sheyetzahara. So here the kal is hearing things about the chosan from the guy's best friends. You don't think it's going to make a roshan? You don't think it's going to impact on shalom bayis? It does. It's been yaduah before, so that it impacts on shalom bayis. So again, anyone wants to take that responsibility upon themselves, if it's worth a good joke to potentially jeopardize a person's shalom bayis, okay, it's your cheshbon, if you feel that that's okay. If you want to know how serious the Torah Kedosha takes the idea of the reputation that a husband has to have in the eyes of his wife, and vice versa, the wife in the eyes of the husband, how significant it is, how important it is. So just look at what the Gemara says, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechaved isha ba'ilo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechaved ba'il lishto. Kadosh Baruch Hu will only say good things to a spouse about the other spouse. That's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mafal sholem in ishto. So the more you can say good things and nice things about a prospective spouse, that's malach to bedracha, that's following the footsteps of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give Avram bad things about Sarah, did he give Sarah bad things about Avram? Kadosh Baruch Hu reports on the good qualities of a spouse. So whatever negative qualities, we all have chazronos. You just keep it shut, keep your mouth shut, keep it to yourself. There's no great mitzvah to tell the world about. So again, so this is something of the utmost seriousness. Here we're upping the ante a little bit. It's not just, okay, one time I did a mal pech v'bram. Okay, some chayv Mishkefil, you heard about Yavra, okay, Mishkefil, that's the end of the world. No, you're causing, you may be responsible for Shalom Bayis. And even though you may not see it, it may take 30 years down the line for somebody to connect the dots, that somebody put this bug in the Kala's head that maybe my husband is not as great as I thought he was. Maybe he's not the lamdan I thought he was. Maybe he's not an honest person I thought he was. He'd be cheated on tests, so me or there, what else he could do? That's dishonest throughout life. So this is not something to laugh at. These little plant, little seeds, which are said kind of in humor and joke, and guess what? They can shoret pori rosh velana. They can plant very, very, very bitter fruit down the line. Not only can they, but they haven't already. Ma'isim b'chol yom. The people who have told you, people who work in the business, who will tell you that there is a direct correlation between these kinds of comments that are said, quote unquote, in joking, and it impacts your essential ma'is down the line. So we've been focusing primarily in the realm of Benonim Lechaveiro. And I have to be honest that there are sometimes very, very serious violations of Benonim Lamochom that take place under in these kinds of settings. I've seen them with my own eyes, that sometimes there's a tremendous lack of Kavanah Torah that takes place. Well, Chosun, okay, Chosun. Sometimes there's a Tamu Chacham. It's such a big Tamu Chacham, yeah. At least the follow-up thing to the Chandah, whatever it is, the Chosun something. But as we know, that very often there are chashuv rabbanim, chashuv tamid chachamim who are sitting here. So I don't consider myself to be one, but I have been present at offeros with great tamid chachamim, and I was shocked. I was shocked at, even if somehow the people, the kinds of lines that are said, somehow the person, they're not embarrassed to say them themselves, and they're not embarrassed to say them in front of a parent, they're not afraid in front of the grandparents, they're not embarrassed in front of the in-laws, they're not embarrassed in front of the rav, they're not embarrassed in front of the Rebbe, in front of the Rosh Hashiva. They're Gedolei Hador sitting there, and they're not embarrassed to tell these kinds of stories. So that's a Kavanah Torah. That's, you know, we don't speak so much about the Maamar Chazal. When a person's sitting in Shia, so he's sitting in front of a Rebbe, so it's aim of a year for rest. Okay, you know, we're a little bit more laid back. You know, I say Shia, I tell a couple of jokes here and there. Okay, you know, like Gemara says, you gotta, you know, chill out a little, but also when you say Shia, okay, fine. But a certain basic Havana that this Kavanah Torah, the Gemara says that a mevaze chaver b'fnei tamar chacham is a dinuk apikoros. The Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin. Why? Because a person who's mevaze chaver b'fnei tamar chacham is exhibiting the priest of the Kavanah Torah. So, it's inevitably going to be somebody there. Someone knows how to learn. Someone knows something. So that in and of itself is a very, very serious problem. And unfortunately, very often we find that the conversations, the quote-unquote stories and the jokes revolve around things which are, no one's getting up and telling great stories about what a great lamdan the guy is. They're usually telling things about that the person did wrong, whether sometimes serious averus, I've heard those been mentioned, and sometimes not such serious averus, but still things which are not necessarily praiseworthy. And sometimes a very, very sad situation arises. Sometimes the conversation touches on things which should not be spoken about ever. I said, issues that are touch on pritzos. Sometimes they're over the board, over the line in terms of pritzos. I said, you have to talk about at the ofrof about that the guy had a girlfriend when he was in high school. I said, again, if you live in a society where that's okay, it's okay. I'm not saying that we should live in such a society. I'm not saying that we should advocate those activities. But if the chosin is somebody who probably, at least at this point, is not living, that's not the type of lifestyle, and that's what's spoken about, and it has to be spoken about in sometimes very, very inappropriate terms, I said, so that's mutter also. That's also okay. And you're allowed to talk about things which you shouldn't be talking about ever, anywhere. I said, that's also part of it. It's also part of civil cosmetology, talking appropriately. I said, I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, we're not the greatest fulfillment, you know, of the Gemara speaks about a sach sichas chulin over the essay. You know, a person speaks about anything that's not divrei Torah. Suddenly, a sameach talks about the pastay, talking about nothing. Okay, you know, we talk about other things every once in a while, whether rightfully so, not rightfully so, whether we should be talking about these things in the Beis Medrash or in the shuls. Okay, we whatever chesrinus we have in this area. But I think that kuliyamul pligi that. What the Torah does say is v'dibartabam v'lo b'dvar b'talim. So what does that mean, v'dibartabam v'lo b'dvar b'talim? So the most lenient version of what that means is v'dibartabam v'lo b'dvar b'talim means that there are certain times where the focus is supposed to be divrei Torah. So the person is saying dvar b'talim on the basketball court. Okay, person saying Dvar B'Teilim, you know, in the dormitory before he's going to sleep. Please don't quote me on that. Don't misquote me. I'm not advocating Sichas Dvar B'Teilim. But I'm saying there's a time and a place that, you know, that we can understand. The person has to love it. But if a person is saying Dvar B'Teilim in the middle of a Beis Medrash, in the middle of Shia, I don't mean because he said a funny cash in Dvar B'Teilim. I mean the guy's schmoozing in the middle of Shia. So, you know, I've drawn this attention at Baruch Hashem. We don't have this problem, I don't think. A person, when he's doing nothing, so he's sitting around and texting and he's emailing, he's doing all kind of mishigas and all kind of sikhas dvar b'teilim. Okay, no, nishkefelach. But when he's in the middle of Shia, he's doing that also. He's in the Beis Medrash, he's also doing that. He said, that's the issue of the dibat dvar, lo dvar b'teilim. Means there's a time to talk different Torah, and there's a time, but the time which is miyuchat for dvar, for different Torah, so that's not a time. That's type of more of a serious violation of dvar b'teilim. So, mafiri is da'iti, there's a minig, be a most kadmana. So in terms of Simchas Chasa Bekala, both in terms of the Yofruf and in terms of the Sheva Brachas, in terms of the Chasana time, it's a time of the Torah. We find the Moshel, the Sefer Sheish Maitza, the way the legend has it, when the legend is true and has it relevant for our story, that there were seven Chalachim to Sefer Sheish Maitza, because there were 7 days of Sheva Brachas. So when the Sheva Shmaitza got married, the Tzais got married, each day was dedicated to saying, oh, we wanted the Parachim with the Sheva Shmaitza. Okay, so I understand that may be a little bit a hefty deal for some of us. Okay, maybe, you know, maybe some of you guys could still have, can reach that point, but whatever it is, but it's a time that's miyuchad for different Torah. I said, a Shabbos Suda of Simchas Chas V'Kal is not a time for different Torah. This is different Torah. This is different Torah. The best ones of the roasts start out with maybe a pasuk from Chumash. Maybe. If you're lucky, you'll start a pasuk from Chumash, and then wham, then we'll get into the roast and part itself. Those are the good ones. And the bad ones, they don't even know what the parsha is. So that's a really, really serious problem. I said, it's a certain degree of sensitivity. The time that's been miyuchad and Klal Yisrael for the Torah, with the Shiras, with the Shmachos, to celebrate a wonderful person reaching the point of going to the chuppah, to be tainted, to be tarnished with such tzad dvar b'teilim, is something which in and of itself is very, very, very problematic. So if I said we spoke a little bit about in terms of averus b'dam l'makom, a little bit averus b'dam l'chaveiro, I think there are certain practical things that a person should realize. And we're focusing mostly on the damage that a person is doing with these kinds of jokes and these kinds of stories, these kinds of dvar b'teilim, geared towards the damage that causes in the chasam and the kal and the parents and the chutanim, and everybody's walking away embarrassed and feeling upset. But I'll tell you something that is also true. The person who's doing the jokes, the person who's saying the jokes, not the roastee, but the roaster, doesn't even begin to be masking how much damage he's causing himself. And this is also well documented. That there are situations that there are people who are sitting here, and you never know who's sitting in that room. You never know. But the person himself who's doing the jokes is himself not married. You never know what damage it's costing him. Guys are thinking, come on, Rabbi, you got to be joking. I got to list a mile long. You know, I can marry whoever I want. I can marry 20 people at the same time. And no, except for Ben Gershom, no one will know about. But comes the, I guess, cut that one out. But comes the reality and sets in, and I'm telling you, this is Adus, that there have been people who have said, I sat at that particular Ofruf, and I heard that friend get up and say such and such, I would never let my daughter go out, not with the chasna, the chasna is getting married already tomorrow, hopefully, unless somebody messed up the shidduch already, but the roaster, I would never let my daughter go anywhere near this guy. I said, that's someone who I want as a son-in-law. I'm telling you, my yisim b'chol yag. The person doesn't even realize, person from his vantage point doesn't chop the damage that he's doing for himself. And it's not only in the realm of Shidduchim. The guy's feeling he's married already, fine, no problem, I'm married, what could possibly go wrong? So a new chumra, only the guys already married could be some places have a minhag, only married guys can be Eidi Kedushin. Okay, a new chumra, I didn't say we should follow that minhag, but some have that custom. So a new chumra, the roasters have to be married themselves because that way they can't ruin their own Shidduchim. I'll tell you a secret, they can't ruin their own Shidduchim, but they can ruin their own Shalom Bayis. And there have been also situations, and I kid you not, where inevitably, you know, talking about a young guy's offer, guys get married at the age of 65, the roast is a little bit toned down. But this is, so you're talking about the guy's 22, Hakomikoko. So how old is the roaster? If he's married, he's 23. I mean, if he's 38, he doesn't have any good stories. They didn't overlap in yeshiva. So he's also very young. That means how many years is he married? So he's 23. So again, okay, he's from Satmar, he's been married already 5 years, he's already a grandfather, okay, but I'm saying, but he's not like he's not married that long. So here he's sitting with his kala of maximum 6 months, and she is seeing a homeless side of him. And she said, wait a second, he's telling stories about this guy, how remember that time when we got good and drunk on our that night in the dorm? She never heard that story before. There are some ma'asim where the wives, the mother-in-laws, I'm not kidding you, of the roaster have said, wait a second, this is the guy who's, forget about this, the guy who's going to marry my daughter. This is the guy who's already married to my daughter. He's already the father of my grandchild. I said, what? There's a whole new side of him that we didn't hear. People are very, very short-sighted. They probably don't realize. You think it's not going to cost you in terms of shidduchim, in terms of your own life? You know who's going to be your employer someday? You know who's going to be your balabas someday? You think you'd be a rough? A person gets up. We live in a world where people just shoot off the mouth and say everything. We live in such a world. People don't realize the ramifications of certain statements that they say. Not everything at the age of 22 is something that you want to come back and haunt you at the age of 45. So again, b'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. So even most of us think, okay, yeah, that's nice, and the sefer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we never really see that sefer anyway. So what we don't know doesn't hurt us. So I mean, that's not the way we should be living. We should be much more concerned about the sefer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we should be concerned about the sefer that we're writing about ourselves. And again, this can be said about a lot of things. People who post things online, foolish things, put up pictures of things when they're 18 years old. They don't realize that in 10 or 20 years from now, people are going to be looking at these pictures. That's a problem. People are going to be hearing these things. People are going to be remembering the stories. So you never know what's going to come back to one. I remember once one of my rabbis said to me, he said, you have to always be nice to everybody. You have to never get into a fight with anybody and never say anything foolish to anybody, because you never know who your mechutanim are going to be. He said, in 20 years from now, you're going to have to answer to somebody. So you might say, I kid you not, and when a person gets up and acts in such an inappropriate, childish manner, that to think that people who are older and more mature aren't looking at you now in a different light, so you're misjudging what's going on. I tell you myself, I tell you, well, I'm not that old, but I've heard some of these things, but I thought differently about some people. I've heard some of my own Tamidim say things. I said, I can't believe these are my Tamidim. I said, there's a whole another side of that I didn't know exists. So, the Rambam writes in the Chos Tshuva that, according to Gemara said, Azuma, Ashrei Nisui Peshek Sui Chato, that when a person does something wrong, everyone does have errors. We all do have errors. There are things that I also did 30 years ago, maybe I'm not the proudest thing of. Are we supposed to be mafaris of them? Are we supposed to speak about them? So the din is no. The din is that's inappropriate. A person who's constantly walking around and advertising all the terrible things that he did when he was young, so that's tshuva. In the realm of Om HaChaveh, it's a different story, but in the realm of Om HaMafom, the person to get up and say that all the things that I did inappropriately when I was younger, said, that's not tshuva, that's the opposite of tshuva. The Rambam writes that part of tshuva is that a person is supposed to be meisir sachet mimachshavto, that he's not supposed to be thinking about the chenim, he's supposed to get out of your head. So a person's walking around proud. The Rambam counts part of the tshuva is busha from a chet. So if I'm really mizbayish, I feel bad what I did when I was 15. It wasn't what a ben Torah is really supposed to do. That I could have been better when I was 20 years old. What I did in Eretz Yisrael, walking around partying, places I went to, things I did. Something to be proud of. So now that I'm going out and flaunting it and telling them, remember the Thursday night when we left Yeshiva and we ended up on whatever street we were in Eretz Yisrael, and it wasn't to buy ice cream, and remember those nights? Well, I'm like, that's tshuva. That's fakir. So you're going to clap, you clap a chet to that Yom Kippur for the last 5 years, and now you're getting up and talking about it. So that's the antithesis of tshuva. You're supposed to be embarrassed and keep it quiet. There's no mitzvah to go be in the farce of it. There's no favor to be in the farce of it to the whole world. So basically, I think we touched on some pretty serious issues here, both in terms of Isurim and Amma Mokom, Isurim and Amma Chavero, common sense, long-term problems. So the question is, everybody says, so what should an Ofrif look like? And we're very negative today. We're talking everything an Ofrif should look like. What should an Ofrif look like? So let's think for a minute. Where did this Minhag Yisrael come from? An Ofrif, a strange minhag. They come to the Sefer Torah. Why? What's pshat? So we find that every time that a person reaches a milestone in life, so they always come to celebrate with the Sefer Torah. Boy turns bar mitzvah, human aliyah comes to the Sefer Torah. The boy, bocher, is getting ready to get married, comes to the Sefer Torah. The baby is born, you name the baby, a girl, but the Sefer Torah, whatever it is, everything always come back to the Sefer Torah. An offer is a tremendous time of covenant Torah. An offer is a time when a person shows that I'm about to embark upon a beautiful new stage in my life, so fakir, I want to remechazik myself, reconnect myself to the Torah. as we spoke about in our shiur several times. I said we have two models in Chazal about individuals who are about to get married, and before they got married, they take a little bit of a detour to yeshiva. One is, of course, the famous one of Yaakov, and it told us before the Yetze, he takes a short 14-year detour and goes back to yeshiva to learn. And you find it by Yitzchak also. Chazal say that after Akedah, so Yitzchak goes off to yeshiva. So Yoshev Avram on the Orav, Yitzchak Keichan Holach. Where'd he go? So he went to yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. How come everyone's going to yeshiva Shem Be'Ever? All of a sudden, the enrollment's going up in yeshiva Shem Be'Ever all the time. He said, what's going on over here? Yaakov's running to the yeshiva, and Yitzchak's running to the yeshiva. So the answer is, because both Yitzchak and Yaakov at this stage in life were about to get married. Yitzchak realized, Avram told him he's about to get married. Yolda Banu Menachar Chicha, and Rivka's born, and Yitzchak realizes he's about to get married, and Yaakov realizes his father told him he's got to go find the Shidduch. So before Yitzchak and Yaakov go find the Shidduch, so they go back to the Beis Medrash, they go back to the Makom Torah, because now they're about to become husbands and fathers, they're about to start a whole new type of their life, a whole new existence. So you need more Chizik, you need more Torah. So you go back to the Sefer Torah. So that's what the image of what the Mini Yisrael was, that the Chosan comes back and he gets an Aliyah, and you sing with him in the Torah, and many have to cuss. They dance with him to the Aliyah, they dance him to the Torah, because Fakir, it's showing that he's about to start a whole new stage in Limud HaTorah, and Chazal say that Kosher Ein Lo Isha Ein Lo Torah, so the fact that he's getting married is going to help him learn Torah, and now he's about to have children with Hashem soon, he's going to be B'shinam D'Levanecha. It's a whole new beginning of a whole new life of Torah. That's what Ruff is all about. So one good thing. So what should the conversation be about at Ruff? So the answer is very partial. It should be a combination of Divrei Torah, obviously, and it should be Fakir, Divrei Torah, relating Dafka to the Chosan. Now is the perfect opportunity to say wonderful stories about the Chosan. I'm not saying that every Ofrev has to be, you know, just get up and say Sheish Maitz. It would be nice. Halavai. If I got complaints from parents that we're waiting for some roast, and the guy get up and talk about speaking the rice and the chumra for an hour. All right, Zolzan, I'll live with that if I get to complain from this one. But it's a perfect time to tell a beautiful story. And I'll tell you, see, it's a perfect time to tell a funny story. I'm not opposed to telling funny stories. I'm also can tell one or two jokes. You can tell funny stories, but the funny stories have to be betal. Funny stories have to be things of chizuk. The funny stories have to be things to point out the godliness of the chosan in a beautiful Torahic way. I mean, not to tell the foolishness, not to tell the narish guy, not to tell the derogatory things about the chosan. To tell about the commitment of the chosan. Tell about the limud haTorah. Tell about the shmiras hamitzvos. About the chesed, the midas tovos. Baruch Hashem, there are plenty of things to talk about. We're talking about bnei Torah. The non bnei Torah not going to listen to me anyway. I'm talking about within the bnei Torah. So halavai the bnei Torah listen. So within the bnei Torah, there's so many beautiful things to say. Things that will, guess what? They'll make the chosan feel good. Well, so that's a mitzvah Mesameach Chosan already. I don't want to make the Chosan feel too good, because the Magen Avraham is a suffix, whether Mesameach Chosan only starts by the Chuppah. I want to be Machmir. Okay, fine, that's my Chesh. So it'll make the Chosan feel good. It'll make the parents feel beautiful, feel wonderful. There's nothing that gives greater joy to a parent than to hear nice things about a kid. Just that's why I came a little bit late tonight. I had to go to parent-teacher conferences for one of my kids. So every parent goes into parent-teacher conferences, zittering and shaking, you know, what are they going to hear? So you want to hear nice things. So Baruch Hashem, it was a good night. Okay, so one teacher I didn't have time to wait for, so hopefully it was okay. 7 out of 8 is not bad. Okay. So we weren't expecting anything bad. So the Baruch Hashem, a parent is sitting there, and imagine what the parent's thinking there. The mother's sitting there and tearing tears of joy, hearing about these are my son's friends. And I remember these boys, they were all little boys, and all of a sudden they grew up to be young men, and they're opening Torah and Shom Torah and Mitzvahs and Midas Tovos and Chesed. You think that's not going to warm our heart? You think it's not going to make the father feel that, wow, it was worth the $10,000 on this offer. If I needed $10,000 to buy you chicken wings for the whole young Israel of the world, I said, but it's only, it's worth it, because it gives me such tremendous nachas. So imagine you could take the same good stories and the same, but not the same ones, but good stories and funny stories and divrei chizuk, and combine it with divrei Torah, make it real divrei Torah. Somebody once said to me, they don't understand, since when did Bnei Torah all of a sudden to think that they're supposed to be stand-up comedians? I said, a Ben Torah is supposed to say Divrei Torah, supposed to say Divrei Chizuk, Divrei Hisoros, and you could say it in a beautiful, tamed way, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, and you could say jokes also. I'm not saying you can't say jokes. That's also Zivchas Chosan Kala. But the jokes have to be appropriate, the jokes have to be in the spirit of being Marvit Torah, not in the spirit of meanness, of vulgar, and just drawing people away from Divrei Torah, V'yir Shemayim. That should be the goal. That's what an offer is supposed to look like. So imagine, if an offer looks like that, imagine what the chasta is going to look like. Imagine what the life is going to look like. It sets the tone, it sets the stage for a beautiful, beautiful future of Torah. So again, Lefiani Yadakti, I think it would be an unbelievable tikkun. Whoever heard the shiur tonight, so I hope you spread the words, put it online. We'll see how many people, how many nasty blogs I get by tomorrow. Whatever it is, good. I can take them, because I don't listen to any of them. I never read them. I wouldn't even know how to read them if somebody told me. So, Baruch Hashem, that's the good thing. I can barely figure out how to find myself in Yom Torah. I just look, eventually, after some time, I find. That's the guy without the beard. That's me. Okay. So, so Rabbi Sai, seriously, we can mamish have the ability to transform something which has become literally a mock, has become mamish a negatzaras in our community and in other places as well. It's not just that problem. It's something that I can tell you that I'm not speaking on behalf of myself. I'm not only speaking on behalf of my wife, that's for sure, but I'm speaking on behalf of Kam Vakam Rabbanim Chashuvim in our yeshiva now. There are several Rosh Hashivas who, the last couple of days, who have come up to me and said, Kol HaKavod, and if you need me to come and sign off on it, I'm here. You didn't even hear what I said. So they said, it doesn't even matter what you say. I know you're going to say, I know you're against it, because you've got to be a nutcase to be for it. So whatever you're going to say against it, Kol HaKavod, whatever you're going to say, say more and more and more. Say, Kefal, Dal, Vei, the works, whatever you're going to say. So this is something I'm not speaking on behalf of myself. You know, we can come out with some Kol Kairi and everything. It's so silly. We need a Kol Kairi. This, imagine the Kol Kairi is Yotze Mitoch Kostei Beis HaMedrash, a Kol Kairi that there's an Isser Gomer to be Malach Rechveh B'Rabim. There's an Isser Gomer to cause parents Tzar. So then we have to put out a next Kol Kairi. There's an Isser Gomer to be Ritzach. I say, come on, you got to limit the Kol Kairi to something that's worth it to be curry about. So we don't want to, and we will someday come up with a Kol Kairi, but it's such a Dvarim Shutu. Talk to any of your Rebbeim, not the guys in Mashiach, talk to the other Rebbeim, talk to your Rabbanim, talk to your parents, talk to anybody, talk to old people, talk to anybody who has just a little bit more life experience than the 21-year-old kids who think that everything revolves around just a lot of fun and good times. So seriously, think about what I'm saying and spread the word. And if we could somehow make a dent in this and cut this Narishkeit out, for again, as Bnei Torah, we have to start making the dents in our own in our own simchas and spread the word to our friends that this is lay osachem bim kamenu. Sorry for quoting loving in this one, but this is something that just doesn't happen. It's not part of our lexicon. It's not part of a Torah simcha. So hopefully Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to be mesameach osam akala properly, and hopefully our simchas should be literally l'shem u'tiferes with all the beautiful, wonderful brachas of Shefa Tov. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be mashpi upon us and all of our families and all of our children. Many, many happy years to come.